Maybe you've noticed that all sermons are not the same. Some are more like preaching. Some are more like teaching. There's a difference, I think. Some are inspirational. Some are informational. Some are directed toward the heart and towards the will. And some are directed towards the mind. Well, we need both in reality. We need to be inspired and we need to be informed. And in today's message, I hope to do both. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about baptism and hopefully inspire you, if you've not been baptized, to follow what the Bible teaches and be baptized. Take the plunge. Next Sunday, we're having a picnic. You see an insert in the bulletin that talks about it. Use this as a reminder not to forget that next Sunday, we're going to have a church picnic at 1 o'clock. We'll be having a deli lunch followed by baptisms in the lake. So let me ask you, have you followed the Lord in obedience and been baptized? Every couple of years I teach this because I believe we need to be reminded that this is an important part of the Christian life, is our first step of obedience. Have you publicly declared your faith by being baptized? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you haven't, but I want to ask you, if you have been baptized, to raise your hand. I want you to look around the room. You can see that most of the people here, I'm preaching to the choir today. You've all been baptized, but it's really important for you to hear this message because you know somebody in your life who says, well, baptism's not that important. I haven't been baptized yet. And you need to be ready to encourage them, to nudge them towards making their faith known, going public with their faith, declaring their faith by baptism. So don't tune out just because you've been baptized. Use this as information. Take a few notes. In the bulletin, I've got a yellow slip. It's got the outline of today's message. Take a few notes, circle a few verses that you can share with that loved one who's not been baptized. I find that there's some confusion about baptism, so that's another good reason to talk about it. It's very important that we learn not what man teaches, but what the Bible teaches. There's a lot of confusion about baptism. People are saying the wrong things about it. We need to say the right things about it. I think people fall into two extremes. I'll give you both. Number one extreme is the over-importance of baptism. They say stuff like, you must be baptized to be saved. Baptism, they say, is a means to salvation. So I've been many times asked somebody, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And they'll say, yes, I was baptized. And that wasn't the question I asked. I asked, are you a believer? Or have you trusted Christ? Have you given your heart to Him? So I hear this a lot. This is the error that I'm worried about, is some people believe that baptism is what saves them, that water is what cleanses them. And that's not true. Christ is the only one that can save. Christ is the only one that can cleanse. Christ is the only one that can come in and make a difference in your heart. So baptism should be seen as a symbol of what's already happened inside. It's an outward expression, an outward sign of an inward grace, an inward commitment, an inner reality. You trust Christ and you show the world that by being baptized. So that's one extreme, is the over-importance of baptism. The other extreme is the under-importance of baptism. People swing pendulum all the way to the other side. People come to the conclusion, well, if baptism's not necessary for salvation, then it must not be necessary at all. Many do not get baptized. They think, well, it's just not that important. Yet according to the scriptures, it's very important. Baptism should be the new believer's first step in obedience to the Lord. So that's what I've titled my message today, Baptism, the Believer's First Step. Unfortunately, some people have been Christians a long time and never made that first step. They hesitate for some reason. Baptism is not optional. If you're a follower of Christ, you should be baptized. It's not something you should delay. It's an important first step of a new believer. So today, as we prepare to baptize next Sunday, I don't want you to be uneducated about baptism. So I'm going to give you some information from the Bible, what the Bible teaches about baptism, so that you know what we're doing is a biblical expression of our faith. So we're going to seek to answer six basic questions, and they're in the bulletin. What is baptism? Number two, how should one be baptized? Number three, who should be baptized? Number four, when should one be baptized? Number five, why should one be baptized? And number six, maybe the preachiest of them all, is why do some people resist baptism? What's going on? We're going to look at many scriptures today. You can see some of the verses are written out in your bulletin. We're going to interpret scripture with scripture. There's so much scripture about baptism. We're just going to read the verses and see what they teach us. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Oh, I know. Here we go. What is baptism? Let me give you a definition. A biblical ceremony of immersing a believer into water to identify him with Christ and the church. Let me say that again, emphasize a few different words here. It's a biblical ceremony. This is not something we come up with. This is biblical. Immersing a believer. We'll talk about that in a minute. Immersing who? A non-believer? A believer. You have to be saved before you get baptized. Into water to do what? To identify him with Christ and the church. Those who overemphasize baptism call it a sacrament, a sacred rite of the church that somehow in itself imparts grace. They believe that participating in baptism in the sacrament brings us in favor with God, brings us into his family. That's simply not true. Ceremonies don't save. Rituals do not save. Our salvation is not based on sacraments, on rites and rituals. Our salvation is based only on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Our faith is based only on our salvation is based only on faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our salvation is a free gift of God, not the results of being dunked or any works. The Bible says not the results of works that anyone can boast. And no one can say, well, I'm saved because I got baptized. That's not true. If baptism is not a sacrament, then what is it? It's an ordinance. We use the word ordinance. We don't use the word sacrament. Ordinance means something God ordained, something God commanded. It's something to be observed out of obedience to God. So baptism is something we do as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. What are the two ordinances of the church? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, or the communion. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Jesus said to be baptized. Jesus said to observe communion. Those are the two things we do. They're both physical illustrations of a spiritual truth. You don't become a Christian when you drink the communion wine, right? You're not receiving Christ. You're doing that as a symbol that you've already received Christ. You don't become a Christian when you go into the water, right? That's just a symbol of the fact that you're clean on the inside. So these are outward expressions of the church dealing with inward realities. You've all heard of Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher. Let me read what he said in one of his sermons. A man who knows that he is saved by believing in Christ does not, when he is baptized, lift his baptism into a saving ordinance. In fact, he is the best protester against that mistake because he holds that he has no right to be baptized until he is saved. He has no right to be baptized until he's saved. Baptism is supposed to be believer's baptism. You're saved first, baptized second. The verse we read today, Matthew 28, says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What comes first? Make disciples. Then do what? Baptize them. They have to become disciples, followers, believers, Christians. Then you baptize them. And then you teach them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So first become a disciple, then get baptized, and then become a learner. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So baptism should be the believer's first step. Any new disciple should be baptized right away. But where did baptism start? That's an interesting question. I had fun studying this out. Where did it originate? You might assume that it began with John the Baptizer, but that's not true. It's the first time we see it in the New Testament, but not in history. Let me read about John. Matthew chapter 3, right at the very beginning of the New Testament, says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. He says, repent and be baptized. What's first? Repent, become a believer, become a follower, and be baptized. But that's not where it originated. It originated before John the Baptist. Baptism was practiced among the Jews before Jesus, before John the Baptist, any of the New Testament. Let me give you the history here. I double-searched this on the internet, along with John MacArthur, along with a guy named Alfred Edersheim, who's a historian from those days. Listen to this origin. When non-Jews, this is before Christianity, it's Old Testament, when non-Jews or Gentiles wanted to convert, wanted to become a Jewish follower, follow the Jewish religion, they wanted to serve the one true God, here's what they were called to do. They're called Jewish proselytes. So they were Gentiles becoming Jews. Three steps. You ready for the three steps? You can like this. In order to join the Jewish faith, they had to do circumcision. So if you were a man, no matter what age you were, you had to become a Jew, you had to become circumcised. That might discourage a few Gentiles from converting. Number two, they had to do sacrifices, a blood offering. And number three, they had to be baptized to become a Jewish proselyte. So what made John the Baptist different was he was requiring not the Gentiles, not just the Gentiles, but the Jews to be baptized too. Those Jews had to admit that they were no better than the Gentiles. He says, repent, Jew or Gentile, and be baptized. Well, that's something that only Gentiles had to do. No. When John the Baptist came, it was Jews and Gentiles. All needed to repent and be baptized. All needed to turn away from their sin and begin following God. So baptism says the same thing. It says, I'm dying to my old self. For the Jewish, in the Old Testament, for the Gentiles are saying, I'm no longer a Gentile, I'm becoming a Jew. I'll be circumcised, I'll do a sacrifice, I'll be baptized. And that's what Christianity is. It says, I'm dying to my old self. I'm not looking back anymore. I'm looking forward to live for Christ. There's a change that happens. So let me review what we've discovered so far. Baptism has been around a long time, even before John the Baptist. Baptism symbolizes our repentance of the heart. Baptism is an act of obedience because we're told to be baptized. But how should we be baptized? Question number two, how? How should we be baptized? The same way John did it, by immersion. Now don't worry about what churches teach. Some churches don't teach what the Bible teaches. The Jordan River is where they were baptized. They were dunked under the Jordan River. I've been to that river. And I actually, just for the fun of it, got rebaptized in the Jordan River to follow the footsteps of Christ. So baptized, the word literally means to immerse, to dip, or submerge. That's what baptism means. So when you dunk your cookie, you're baptizing your cookie. You're dunking it in. Biblical baptism is total immersion. Now, I'm going to read to you three different church leaders. One's Martin Luther. What church became from his teaching? The Lutheran church, right? Listen to this. He says, I would have those who are to be baptized to be entirely immersed as the word, the Bible, imports and the mystery signifies. Martin Luther says to baptize by immersion. How do Lutherans baptize today? Sprinkle. Right? Maybe they don't all. Maybe there's different varieties of Lutherans. But we've strayed away from what the Bible teaches and taken on traditions of men. John Calvin, you ever heard of Calvinism? John Calvin says the word baptize signifies to immerse. It is certain that immersion was the practice of the ancient church. If it was their practice, it should be our practice. John Wesley, isn't he the Methodist? How do Methodists baptize? Listen to what John Wesley says. He says, buried with him alludes to baptism by immersion according to the custom of the first church. How do we baptize? Immersion, because that's what the Bible says. We find a baptismal, that's what this is behind me. If you've been around a while, you've seen us do some baptisms here in this baptismal. Usually we wait till summer and do it in the lake or in a pool. Next Sunday we'll be doing it in a pool. We're going to baptize several, I hope. Now, I do make the rare exceptions. For instance, a lady named Dorothy came to me, wanted to be baptized. She was a new believer, but she was an older believer, and she was in a wheelchair, and she was dealing with cancer. And there was no way I was going to get her into a baptismal. She couldn't physically do that. So I just poured water over her. Do you think God cares? In that situation, he knew her heart. I mean, she would have been immersed if she could have been immersed, but she couldn't. We baptized her, and I did her funeral just a few weeks later. How was Jesus baptized? Immersion. Let's read about it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then when Jesus arrived from Galilee to the Jordan River, coming to John to be baptized by him, but John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." It's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Came up from the water. So he was immersed. That's interesting. Jesus, who knew no sin, who need not repent, he was sinless. He submitted to baptism. Why did he say? Well, I kind of stopped on that word. To fulfill all righteousness, he said. In other words, it's the right and righteous thing to do. I'm doing this to set a pattern for you who follow after me. His baptism is part of identifying with Christ. How much more should we, who do need to repent, who do need righteousness, how much more should we submit to baptism? Do we think we're better than Christ? Say, I don't need to be baptized. Jesus said it's needed to fulfill all righteousness. Let's go to number 3. Who should be baptized? Well, let me tell you who should not be baptized. Infants. Children. This is the teaching. Yeah, it's cute, I know. But where in Scripture do you see small babies being baptized? You don't see it in the Scriptures. We dedicate children. We see that in the Bible where the parents took their babies to Jesus. Jesus laid hands on them and blessed them. We see that and we do that. If you have a small child and want to dedicate your children, we will come and pray and lay hands on that baby and pray God's blessing on them. No matter what age they are, you can dedicate your children to the Lord. But not baptism. I get calls once in a while, say, I've got my infant child, I want to get baptized. Well, they're calling the wrong church. I try to explain to them that the baptism is for believers, not for infants. Now, what age do you baptize? That's tricky, because sometimes they're 5 years old and they're Christians and they love Jesus and they want to be baptized, but will they remember it? I don't know. I baptize as young as that, but I usually encourage if that happens that we get a good video of it and be able to rehearse it every year or two to show their child what step they did, because they're not going to remember that. So that's the only time I would delay a little bit is get them to get old enough to remember. So who should not be baptized? Infants. Unbelievers should not be baptized. Second one, unbelievers should not be baptized. It's not a means of salvation. It's not a ticket to heaven. I get people come to me and they'll say, I want to get baptized. What they're really saying is, I want to get right with God. And they think baptism is how you do that. So the question is not all about baptism. The question is, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? There must be repentance and faith before baptism. So who should be baptized? Believers. That's why it's called believer's baptism. It's an outward expression of what's already happened in the heart. Remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian? It's in Acts chapter 8. Philip witnesses to a man who's out in the desert. He's on a chariot. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip witnesses him and says, this is all about Jesus, the Messiah. And the man becomes a believer right on the road to Emmaus. Let's read about it. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Did you catch that? Believe first. if you really trust Christ as your Savior, you may. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, immersion. Philip, as well as the eunuch, and baptized him. So he confirmed his faith first, and then he baptized him. Did Philip delay and say, well, next time you come around, we'll get you baptized. Come on back a month from now, let's see if your faith takes. Let's see if you're really a believer. He confirmed his faith by his profession, and this was his first step as a believer. First thing he did was to get baptized and then go back to his country and tell others. So that leads to our fourth question. I've already answered it. When should we be baptized? When? The sooner, the better, according to Philip and the Ethiopian. It should be the new believer's first step. It's like climbing a ladder. You're not going to get to the top of the ladder unless you take the first step. First step is baptism. We make the mistake of delaying baptism. We say, well, we'll see if this guy's faith takes, and we take a casual approach, say, someday we'll get around to baptizing you. Now, we do put it off a little bit. If somebody calls us in the winter and wants to be baptized, I'll sometimes say, well, we're going to be doing it in the summer in a pool. Would you rather do that, or would you rather do it here in the winter? Most people choose the pool, and we follow through with that. But it should be soon, is my point. It shouldn't be something that's delayed for years. Listen to Acts chapter 2. This is Peter preaching his first sermon. And you know that many people became believers. Listen. So then, those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So he preaches, they get saved, 3,000 of them get baptized on that very day they get saved. No delay. That's a New Testament pattern. Listen to chapter 8. This is another story of Philip. He went to a town called Samaria. Samaritans were not really good with Jews, but God obviously revealed that his blessing was on the Samaritans too. Let's listen to what happened in chapter 8 of Acts. When they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were all being baptized, men and women alike. That they believed first and were baptized immediately. Remember the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? He was riding into Damascus to persecute the church, and Jesus appears to him in a vision, knocks him off his horse, blinds his eyes. He was a persecutor of the church, an enemy of Christ, but when Christ appeared, a change happened, a transition happened in his heart. And God spoke to him and said, go and wait, and I'll send you a messenger. In Acts chapter 9, we see what happens. Verse 17, so Ananias, the messenger, departed and entered the house. After laying his hands on him, he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight, and he got up, and he was baptized. So he had an experience with the Lord and immediately got baptized. Later, Paul became quite the evangelist, you recall. He was preaching in a city called Philippi, and he got arrested. Paul and Silas got arrested and put in jail in Philippi. Listen to this story. And after he brought them out, he, the Philippian jailer, said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They've been witnessing to this jailer, and a great earthquake happens, and the man says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Isn't that beautiful? Every story we see about baptism is you get saved and right away you get baptized. So that's the answer to the question is when? It's as soon as possible. Why should we be baptized? Why? Let me share three reasons why we should be baptized. There's blanks in your bulletin to fill these in if you wish. Number one, to identify with Christ. Baptism identifies you with Christ. This is the way we as Christians proclaim to the world, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I got baptized. Baptism didn't make me a Christian, but I've been baptized to show that I follow Christ. It's a way to go public with your faith. Your faith is private. It's a way to tell the world, to tell your church family, I'm now a follower of Jesus Christ. Bible teacher Dr. M.R. DeHaan wrote a pamphlet about water baptism. He's the one that started the Daily Breads way back when. So he's a great Christian leader, a physician, a theologian, radio Bible class. Here's what he said. In the early days of the church, baptism was a declaration that the believer was definitely identifying himself with that group of people who are called Christians and were despised and hated. To be a Christian meant something. To identify yourself with those who called themselves Christians meant persecution, maybe even death. It meant being ostracized from your family, shunned by friends. And the one act which was the final declaration of this identification was baptism. So when people in other cultures, when they became Christians, they were tolerated. But when they became baptized, they were not tolerated any longer because now you've identified fully with that sect called Christianity. Paul tells us a little bit more about baptism, how it identifies us with Christ in Romans chapter 6. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Death. How does that associate with baptism? Let's keep reading. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. This is the meaning of baptism. It's a visualized lesson, an object lesson, a dramatization. We're saying, I'm dying to self as you go under the water. I'm being buried with Christ, and I'm rising to live for him. Now, that act doesn't make that happen. You still got to follow through with obedience in your heart. But it's identifying with Christ, and he died, was buried, and was raised. I am dying to my old life. I'm no longer going my way. I'm going to go Christ's way and walk in newness of life. Remember the wonderful verse about Galatians 2:20? It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified by dying and being buried and being raised. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So we die to the self. We live for Christ. We visualize that in baptism. Why be baptized? Number one, to identify with Christ. Number two, second reason, to obey Christ. Not just to identify with Christ, but to obey. This should be reason enough. If we say we follow Jesus, we must follow Jesus. Jesus got baptized, and he says, go and baptize others. We must obey. To obey here is a foundational step. It means you're more likely to obey in the next step, in the next step, in the next step. If you disobey in the first step, you may disobey in the second. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. You'll obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So we must follow through with baptism. So why do we get baptized? To identify with Christ, to obey Christ, and number three, to follow Christ's example. If baptism was important to Jesus, then it should be important to us. Jesus said, in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all righteousness. It's the right and righteous thing to do as a follower of Christ. We need to follow Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21 talks about following in his steps. His steps was to go into the water, be baptized, and come back. Our steps are to follow Jesus and be baptized and live for him. Final question. Are you ready for this one? Why do some resist baptism? Why do some resist it? I can think of four reasons why. Let's see if you've resisted, and I'm not pointing out anybody, I don't know your story, but God has knows you and you know him. If you've resisted baptism, there's one of four reasons. Number one, because of ignorance. It's very possible you did not know the importance of baptism. You've never been taught. In this culture, people don't go to church that much, so they're not taught the truths. Maybe your church has underemphasized baptism. Well, if you've been listening today, you don't have that excuse any longer. You've got information. As I said at the beginning, there's information and there's inspiration. You've been informed. You are to be baptized if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So ignorance is not an answer for you anymore. Number two, because of pride. Some people don't get baptized because of pride. Maybe they're shy to speak up. They're afraid they may have to be in front of people and be seen and get wet, and how humiliating that is. Embarrassed, maybe don't want to look silly. So I just haven't got around to being baptized. I'm not a young person. I would not look good in a bikini. You don't have to wear a bikini. You can wear baggy clothes. Maybe you were saved so many years ago, you're ashamed to admit that you were never baptized in the biblical way. Pride is always a deterrent from doing what's right. Swallow your pride, humble yourself, and do the right thing. Be baptized. Number three, not just ignorance, not just pride, but sometimes indifference. There's some who just don't take their spiritual life that seriously. Well, I'm a Christian. That's all I need. I'm not really that sold on going to church or going to Bible studies or growing spiritually. And baptism, why bother? It doesn't save me. I'm already saved. Once saved, always saved. This is the kind of lingo you get. I'm too busy. It's not that important. You know, that's indications of a cold heart. A heart that's not really following the Lord Jesus Christ. You may call yourself a Christian. You may profess. But if you don't want to follow and obey Jesus, then what is a Christian but a follower of Christ? So you can't be indifferent. You've got to be sold out for the Lord. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He's Lord of all, and that includes baptism, or he's not Lord at all. The last one is where it really gets kind of convicting. Some resist baptism because of ignorance, pride, indifference, but number four, because of defiance. Some know what is right and simply choose not to obey. They say, don't tell me what to do. I don't want to hear it. They don't want to obey. They profess Christ, but they disobey him. Does that describe you? You're just not that sold on this religion stuff. Well, maybe you're not a believer yet. Maybe you need to humble yourself and become a Christian and repent, as John said, and be baptized. Turn around. Turn from your wicked ways and follow Christ. It's never too late to do the right thing. Repent and be baptized. I'm going to end with a story. Years ago, Guidepost Magazines printed this story called My Quiet Heart. In the article, the famous radio legend Paul Harvey, he passed away in 2009. You guys remember Paul Harvey? The older generation does. The younger generation, you missed a jewel. What a guy. He described his baptism. Here's part of what he wrote. Not all, but part. Seemingly, I had everything for which a man could ask. Everything, that is, except a quiet heart. Something was missing. March of last year, Angel and I were vacationing in Arizona. And one Sunday morning, we decided to attend the services of a small church on a hilltop. Inside were a dozen or so worshipers on wooden folding chairs, a scene reminiscent of ones I had seen many times as a youth. The minister preached about baptism. Maybe you stumbled in here today, just like he did, and you heard about baptism. Let me keep reading. The minister preached about baptism, and my attention began to focus on the simple eloquence of this country preacher. I twisted in my chair. Submission to God, the minister said. He asked those who wanted to be baptized to join him. I found myself at his side. The preacher said there was nothing magical about the water, yet as I descended into its depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened. No longer were there two Paul Harveys, just one happy one. I felt a fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit. Afterward, I cried like a baby. I looked at Angel, and her eyes were shining. The change in my life since this simple act has been indescribable. Since totally yielding to Him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act, and because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness about my beliefs. So he had his beliefs, but when he got baptized, it went public, and he felt more bold. Now he's willing to identify with Christ openly. Have you been baptized? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand again. Some of you haven't, I know. And it's not too late. We're going to be baptizing next Sunday. And we only do this about once or twice a year. So don't miss this opportunity. Don't put it off. Who knows? You may meet the Lord before this a year from now. We've lost several in our congregation this past year. Don't put it off. Don't be prideful. Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? That's what the Ethiopian guy says. Look, there's water. What's preventing you from being baptized? Is it your pride? Amen? Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for a chance to baptize these followers. Some have delayed a while. That's okay. They mean well now and they want to follow through. Bless them, we pray. And Lord, we pray for a special picnic day. The weather would be perfect. It would be a beautiful day to remember and be baptized. In Jesus' name we pray.